Hey, this is Dr. Dave, and welcome to Slice Your Age, episode 60.
Welcome to Slice Your Age, the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Now, here's your host and personal coach, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, it's Dr. Dave, and welcome back to what I know is going to be a fantastic episode for you today. I really appreciate you being here, and I'm going to make it worth your while. There's no question about it. I've got a very special guest with me today. So one of the most common questions I'm asked these days is, hey, Dr. Dave, yeah, I'm sold on the nutrition thing. I want to make sure I'm eating better. I might even go plant-based, but I'm not sure what to eat. So can you help me out? Well, let me tell you, this question is so commonly asked. So what I've decided to do, I've teamed up with my very good friend, Sharon McCrae. You've heard her here. She's been on at least three episodes so far. She's a tremendous amount. She's a wealth of knowledge about nutrition and shopping and cooking really healthy meals. So what we're going to do, we're going to make a video. We're going to go right through the local natural grocer and give you tips along the way, what you should be buying, what you should be avoiding, just how to go through a natural grocery store, buy organic, buy really healthy, and then what to do with it when you get it home. So we're going to be making that video. If you could, do me a favor. Send me an email or just send me a message somehow. Just let me know of your interest in this, because if we have enough people that are interested, we'll do more than just one. So just let me know what you think. Go on Facebook if you want. It's of course, it's Slice Your Age on Facebook, or you can reach me at David Matto on Facebook, or just go to sliceyourage.com. Let me know your thoughts. But Sharon and I are going to have a lot of fun doing this. So, and we really look forward to this project. I'll tell you a little bit more later as we get into it. Also, I want to thank you for making this show so successful. We started this a little over a year ago, basically had just a handful of listeners. We just passed the 200,000 downloads mark, which is a pretty good milestone. Now, it's funny. It just seemed like it was a couple months ago we passed 100,000 downloads. Now we're up to 200,000. It's going really, really fast, which means simply we're getting more listeners. You're telling people, you're referring your friends and family and people that are just into slicing their age and being healthier. So I thank you so much. Let's continue to make this show grow. If you've got a friend, if you've got a family member, somebody you work with that could really use some guidance and some help and some coaching, let them know about our show here. You can let them know about The Secret, get them in on it, and we'll continue to grow. The more people we have listening, the more energy we get from you, and we can do great things. So thanks so much for being a listener. Thanks so much for sharing. We really appreciate that. And one more thing before I bring my special guest in today, Slice Your Age t-shirts are coming very soon. We've got some, we beta tested them. I don't know if you can call like a t-shirt a beta test. That's normally you do that with computers and with software and things like that, but I'm going to call it a beta test. We beta tested our shirts. I've got some great response. I've been wearing mine around town, and we've got some select people that are wearing them, and we've gotten such a great response. We're going to be putting these on the website pretty soon. So check sliceyourage.com. You can be the first in your neighborhood to have a real Slice Your Age t-shirt. And it says, "This body fueled by plants." So yeah, well, you got to be fueling your body by plants, we hope, to wear the t-shirt. But I'm not going to check up on you, so hopefully it'll just get you more inspired. So anyway, check it out, sliceyourage.com. We've got a lot more really cool things going on the website, so be sure to not be a stranger there. Hang with me, and you're never alone. Well, let me go ahead and bring my special guest in. Her name is Sarah Stanley, and Sarah has so many credentials. I'm just going to tell you a couple, because I'm going to let her tell you most of them. Sarah is an ultra runner. She's a coach. She eats plant-based, of course. She's very, very health conscious, and she's host of Wellness Chat. She has inspired me for quite some time now, and I just asked her if she'd come on the show, and she graciously said yes. And she's a very busy person, traveling all over the place, but she's able to take some time out and be with us live today. So, Sarah, how are you doing? Welcome.
Good. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and chat today.
Hey, well, it's a pleasure to have you here. It's an honor to have you. Sarah, now, I know you're all over the country. You're doing a lot of really great things, but you're based out of Colorado these days. Is that correct? I know you've been on the East Coast and all over, but you're in Colorado now?
As of today, I'm in Colorado, but I tend to be a little bit of a snowbird, so I go to California as well. I do not care for the cold temperatures, and it's great to be able to ride my bike and go running on Christmas Day without bundling up in hats and scarves and other apparel. So I like to be in the warm weather in California.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you, for a little while, you're an East Coast girl also. What happened? Did you give up on the East Coast? Was it too cold for you here?
You know what? I don't know if I say gave up on the East Coast. I felt like the East Coast didn't jive with my lifestyle and some of my values. I was specifically in the DC area and just kind of grew a little restless and weary of the people that were, I guess I was maybe associating with and kind of hanging around, and just, you know, honestly felt like the mountains in Colorado were calling me. And so the mountains are calling, I must go. And that was my golden ticket. So I packed up and drove across the country by myself and in a blizzard and landed in Colorado without really knowing anybody. And it's been quite a adventure the last 4 years now.
Oh, wow. Well, as you probably know, you're preaching to the choir because I love Colorado. We chatted in the past about that. And I go out there every winter, spend a good part of the winter there. And, you know, at some point it might be more of my permanent home, but at least several months of the year, I could deal with that mountain scenery and beautiful snow. And even in the summer, it's a beautiful place. So congratulations for making that your home now. It's funny. I've met so many people in Colorado that are from the East Coast and they live there now. And they say, you know, there's no turning back. Once you come to Colorado from the East Coast, there's no desire to ever go back. So
it's Colorado. I mean, how can you not be happy here? I mean, besides the cold, you know, even the snow is beautiful. And today, as we're recording this, it's, I think, -2 degrees outside with like wind chills and -10, which is a little, I think, unusual for November. But it's beautiful, you know, with the, you know, 14ers, and that's 14ers are, you know, 14,000 foot mountains and the peaks, and it's a gorgeous state to live in. So it's definitely blessed to be here.
Yeah, it really is. Now I will say this, that when I'm there and, you know, I'm there in the middle of the winter and it gets easily down to zero and below zero, but I've got to tell you, so you've lived on the East Coast for some time as well. So you're an experienced East Coaster. Not that you're proud of it or anything, but when it's zero in Colorado, and we're talking, we have listeners from all over the globe, so we're talking Fahrenheit because we're Americans and we don't deal with Celsius. We're way behind, so we're still dealing with Fahrenheit. But we're talking 0 degrees in Colorado, it's very different than 0 degrees here on the East Coast with the humidity and the humidity and wind mixed together. I think I can go outside in a t-shirt when it's zero in Colorado, as long as it's, you know, not a blizzard or as long as it's not real windy. It's not terrible. It's really not.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I was out early this morning and I thought I was just going to be brutal and, you know, I was bundled up for it, but no, you know, dry, cold temperatures are way different than humid, cold temperatures. So it really does make a huge difference and it makes it a little bit more bearable.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, Sarah, let's get into what you do. And let's say that I know you got a lot going on. Let's say you and I met on an elevator in a very tall building and we had maybe 20 flights to go down. So we had maybe, 15, 30 seconds, maybe close to a minute. I said to you, hey, so what do you do? What do you do in life? How would you explain that to me?
I would hope the elevator would stop on every floor so we would have a chance to really dive into that. And it's funny, before I answered that question, I just got back from New York City, as I know you did yourself, and I was in an elevator and they were doing construction. It was like an old elevator. And literally it took like 5 minutes. I'm like, this would be a perfect time to have an elevator conversation.
You might have been in the same elevator I was, because I was in the same thing that it was constructed. It took forever. It seemed like forever. So let's say,
So a typical, you know, 20, 30 second elevator response would, my mission and goal in life is to help people live free in mind, body, and spirit. And what that means is to live free with what they eat, live free in their mind, that they're not bogged down with disease and sickness and sadness and everything else, you know, that the world kind of throws at them with stress and job and all these things. And my goal and what's really on my heart is to help people live free, you know, whether it's in health or life, and just get a new perspective on what, you know, what they're going through, what they could be facing, what they faced in the past, and to just live free.
Now, I noticed at the beginning of this episode, you said something about when you were on the East Coast, the values, I can't remember the exact words you used, but something on the East Coast didn't jive with like the way you want to live your life. So explain what that was. What was going on here that didn't seem to mesh with your lifestyle, belief system, whatever it may be? Tell me a little bit about that.
I really believe that, you know, we're here on earth to help other people, to inspire them to, you know, live a great life. And in the DC, specifically the DC area, you know, it was a lot of politicians, a lot of attorneys, and just a lot of like fakeness. Like everybody was expected to go to these parties, get their picture in the popular magazines. And that was life. And it just didn't seem real. It didn't seem authentic. And I'm, you know, like one of my passions on my heart and what I advocate for is clean water in Africa. And, you know, being in the DC area, it felt very disingenuous for me to live there when I knew so many people were struggling with so many, you know, major things like clean water. I mean, how often do we here in America, you know, take clean water for granted? And so, you know, some of my life values, you know, would include just, you know, really being, looking out and being aware of what's going on outside us. You know, somebody holding a sign up, like there's always a story behind somebody holding a sign up. It might be an addiction issue, but there's definitely a story. And so I think if we can kind of break down our typical barriers and typical way of viewing life and that, you know, that typical status quo of like, okay, well, what's really going on? Like, let's see this connection that we have with another human being. And it just didn't seem where I was living at that time in my life that it really aligned with kind of my goals and what I wanted to see in life, because people were very miserable. And I was like, I don't have a lot, but I'm happy. And there seemed to be a disconnect with what people, material things that they had and their happiness. It didn't add up. And so that really opened my eyes to helping people like see that you don't have to have things to equate happiness. And, you know, just the values that I have, you know, I hope that other people can, you know, be inspired by them and see that life is more than just our little bubble. And I have to remind myself of that today. Like some things seem really overwhelming and I'm like, you know what, Sarah, this is very trivial in light of how much else is going on. And I think we need to be, you know, constantly, you know, reminded of that. And it's funny because I'm online. You can find me on Twitter at Sarah Stanley. I'm usually there a lot. And I guess, you know, Kim Kardashian, she came out with, you know, some kind of photo shoot and it's trending and all these things. And I just was saddened by it. Like we're role models in good or bad. And what is my life representing? What is my life saying in action, word, and deed? What I say, what I speak, what I buy. Our values are in everything. It's just not what we believe, but our values are in how, you know, we, you know, conduct ourselves and what we say and what we write. And, you know, if we take photos, like, you know, Kim, like, you know, it's really sad to me that our role models have become so sad and not really appropriate for, you know, the next generation. So I think, you know, being a positive role model and, you know, doing good, and that's, you know, we'll get into this a little bit later, but that's really why I try to use my ultra running and my athletic sports to, you know, really give attention to causes that are truly worthy of, you know, finances and funding. And, you know, also just awareness in that life is so much bigger than what's going on in our, you know, current circumstance.
So, you know what I find interesting, and I know that we are going to get into this more, but as far as your fitness level, I mean, you're a ultra runner, and it's not just a casual ultra runner. You're a competitive ultra runner who is, I think from our last conversation, you get invited to certain races because of the level of your performance, I'm guessing. And not only that, but you're really into nutrition, organic and plant-based. And so you're doing all the right things for your body, it sounds like to me, but I find it very interesting that what you started off with, it almost seems like I'm not really sure the correct word to use or words to use, but almost like a higher power, something that might even trump nutrition and fitness, but where you are in life as far as with your happiness and that type of thing. So if you could speak to that a little bit, because I actually do the same thing on my show. I tell people that no matter how many times they're going to the gym, no matter how many races they're running, no matter what kind of food they're eating, if they're not happy and fulfilled on a certain level, it's pretty much all for nothing. It's not going to really help you. And you've got to be at that point. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. Not only that, picture a listener, maybe that somebody's listening to this show that, yeah, they're really into the mindset of, I want to get healthier, I want to work out more, I want to eat better. But talk to them about what's like the first thing to start with in their lives.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of questions in that question.
Yeah, sorry about that.
let me see if I can remember all of them as I start talking. So I think the first thing, you know, I want to throw out a few quotes. So if you're driving listening to this, or if you're sitting listening to this, maybe you want to write them down. The first one is, happiness is an inside job. And the second one is, you are what you eat, drink, and think. So many people have heard the term, you are what you eat, and you are what you absorb. That's, you know, from the nutrition standpoint, you can be eating, you know, a plant-based organic diet, but if your body's not absorbing the nutrients from those real foods, you aren't really doing your body any good. But that's kind of beside the point. But the quote, you know, I really want people to get is that you are what you eat, drink, and think, because we always kind of miss the headspace. What I call the head, the brain, is our control tower. Because if you're not thinking positive thoughts and you're still, you know, you're still eating, you know, maybe a really good diet, but if your head is really messed up with negativity, poor self-esteem, poor body image, you're going to be miserable like for the rest of your life. You're always going to be like searching kind of for that happiness. And I think that's part of what really drives my passion. I just had a conversation yesterday with somebody who's just in a really bad place. And I just wanted to literally like reach through the phone and let them know that like there is so much hope for their situation, that he can absolutely pull through it. And, you know, believing in that higher power is something I subscribe to. Like, you know, faith is very important to me. And I think that's what gets you through the really hard times. And again, it comes back to, you are what you think. And so if we can, you know, realize that there's bigger things out there than our small problems today, you know, like when I'm running 100 miles, like there's something driving me. And what's that driving force? It could be a variety of things, but, you know, some of them I'll just throw out, you know, like running for clean water in Africa. That's, you know, that's probably a really top one. And when you have those big things propelling your life, it makes even 100 miles seem achievable. So if you're going through, you know, a negative headspace or a negative, you know, life current, you know, pattern, and you have something bigger, you know, even like a goal or something that you're working towards, or that you believe in that higher power, that can have an amazing impact on your life, and it can like literally help set you free. So like in the beginning of the show, you know, my elevator pitch is to help people live free. And what that means is to help them live free in what they're eating, what they're thinking, what they're listening to, because we're constantly burdened by a lot of things in society. Like you're supposed to, you know, get married by this age and have, you know, two kids and a white picket fence and a job and like all the status quo stuff. And when you start challenging the status quo, it's really interesting because, it makes people feel uncomfortable because we've been so brainwashed into believing that you have to have all these things to be happy. And it's really interesting you ask this question, because I had a meeting recently with a friend. We haven't seen each other in a couple of years, and he's very successful. And it was really sad to meet up with him because he has everything he could possibly want in life, financially and career wise. And, you know, he has a family and he is so miserable. I mean, he's smoking, he is drinking, he's, you know, I'm not saying drinking is necessarily bad, but, you know, being used in a negative way, you know, he's overweight, he can't really compete in races anymore, and he's just unhappy. And it really, it really affected me after I kind of walked away from that meeting. And I was like, I have like $50 to my name and I'm sleeping on somebody's couch while I'm here in New York City. And I am so happy with life. I just am. And I was like, you know, I don't even know if I want like, you know, money invested in my latest startup because I don't, you know, I want to be happy. I don't want to lose, you know, happiness for money, for a career, because I saw firsthand what it did to my friend. And, you know, part of it, I think you got to keep grounded. But part of it is, you know, just really knowing that happiness comes from the inside. It comes from things greater than yourself, bigger than yourself. And that can really have a positive impact on your life and how you and your outlook and your perspective on so much.
Sarah, you used the word your friend was, we had this meeting with him, he's very successful. I'm going to say that in quotes, very successful.
Yes.
But I'm curious to know, because he said he had all, you know, the money and the family and all that stuff. I'm curious to know, did he tell you that he's not happy at all? Or is this something you just picked up from the conversation with him?
Yes. So good catch on the word successful. We can kind of put that in quotes. I believe, right, you know, right. Successful. You can be financially poor, but be very successful because you're living a life that helps others, inspires others. So thank you for pointing that out. So he's successful in, you know, he sold companies, you know, he travels, flies around the world. So he's, I guess, you know, kind of successful in the normal status quo of what we determine as success. So no, he did not say he's unhappy. His eyes showed it. His posture showed it. His face showed it. A few statements about like his current, you know, life situation. He alluded to some other things that just screamed, I am unhappy. Like, I don't want to be in this situation. So no, did he physically or verbally tell me that, you know, he was unhappy? No, but his whole body language just was, it was so sad.
But but what do you think it was? What do you think the problem is? Is it that he's just living a life that he does not want to be living? What's going on? Because the reason I'm asking this, it's not just because of him, because there are, as you know, there are a
Absolutely.
Lot of people in this situation.
I think, let's come back to the success thing. So success, you know, we've been told, quote unquote, told, you know, through the media, through TV commercials, through, you know, ads in magazines about all these different things. That success is, you know, it's the penthouse. It's the white, you know, picket fence. It's the kids. It's, you know, the husband, wife, partner. You know, it's a lot of money. It's selling, you know, selling companies, writing books, all those like financial monetary things. And I'm not saying monetary success is wrong, but I think when our entire focus is on that versus a very like holistic viewpoint of success of like keeping the mind body intact, just along with our financial health, because everything is connected together. And so when one thing is out of balance, everything else is going to be out of sync. And so that's what I really try to educate and teach people is like everything is connected together, like what you eat, what you drink, what you think, your financial, your stress, your relationships, what you listen to, what you read, what you're putting, you know, in your body, like it's all connected. Like, let's say a heart problem. It's just not the heart that's the problem. It's the food you're eating. It's the stress. It's the lack of exercise. And the same thing with this happiness factor is that we're so focused on the, you know, I don't like to use the word materialism, but I'll use it here in this sense that we're focused on that view of success instead of, you know, really taking care of our health, of our body, of our, of the one body that we get to, you know, leave a lasting legacy for the next 5 to 6 generations. And so, you know, what happened to him? I think his focus got really, really skewed. And unfortunately, you know, he's now in this, you know, state of, you know, being, you know, money can buy anything, but it can't buy happiness. And I think we have to always be grounded that, you know, we can be financially successful, but we've got to make sure that the rest of our life is in order as well. We got to have, you know, wealth, health is just as important as wealth. And sometimes it's actually even more important because if you're happy, then, you know, a lack of money or all the money in the world doesn't make a difference in how your mood is, how your, you know, outlook on life is. Because, you know, everything is, is in that happiness filter. It's not in, you know, how much money in the bank filter do I have? If that makes sense.
Total sense. And Sarah, stand by, because I'm going to just speak to my listener for a second, because for as long as this show has been going on, since episode one, I've been saying the same thing Sarah is saying. And we live once, and we've got to be happy. And I figured out a long time ago, I'm not making my decisions based on what, quote unquote, has always been done, or what society thinks I should do, or what my parents think I should be doing, or what anybody else thinks I should be doing. I make my decisions based on the way I want to live my life. And you know something? If somebody else doesn't like it, too bad. It's my life. And I'm not going to conform to the way it, quote unquote, should be. I just don't do that. And I'm going to tell you something. Like Sarah, I got to tell you something. I am happy every single day. I honestly am. So I'm telling you, and I've said this before, but I just want to stress this, because Sarah just brought up so many great points here. If you're in a relationship that's not working for you, if you're in a job or a business that's, you know, in your heart is not for you, it's not working for you, please, please have the guts to make the change. Please do it, because you know what's going to happen if you don't. You're going to be stressed out. You're going to be getting older. You're going to be stuck with this thing. It's going to be something you just can't get rid of. And I really do believe if you want to, you can get rid of it. So, and you, like I said, you know in your heart if you're in this situation. And I've spoken to a lot of people who are. So I wouldn't be taking this time to say this if I thought maybe only one in a million were in this situation. More people than you would ever imagine are in this situation. So Sarah has figured it out. I've figured it out. We're not gifted in any way. We just kind of realize that, hey, look, this is my life. I want to do the right thing. I want to do the best thing for me. So Sarah, sorry for me going off on that tangent, but it's so important. And I'm so glad you brought that up. Over, not that it's, not that nutrition and exercise and all the other stuff's not important, because we both know it's really, really important, but this is so important. It's incredible. Sarah, I had a friend, I asked a short time ago, we were in this kind of philosophical conversation. And I said to him, I said, Hey, I've got a question for you. So it's totally theoretical, but if you had a choice of either being, let's say on the level of, I'm going to just use an example of a janitor who doesn't really make a whole lot of money, just makes, you know, not a whole lot, but you, in that situation, you'd be very, very happy every day. Or the other choice is you'd be somebody that's very, very wealthy, like a multi-millionaire, but unfortunately your life is miserable. You're just not happy in what you're doing. I said to this friend, I said, what would you choose? And he, without even thinking, he said, well, of course, it's obvious. I would be the rich person. I'd be the wealthy person. I looked at him kind of with great surprise. And I said, well, I don't understand. You would choose to be unhappy? He said, well, you know, I'd have money and I'd be able to make some choices. I'd be able to do things. I'd be able to give to charity. I'm thinking, but you don't understand. This being the janitor and being very happy every day with your family, you're living a very happy life, and maybe you don't even know any better. You would not want that? He said, no way. No, I'd want the money. And I don't know, Sarah. It upset me quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm here shaking my head. That I think is such short-sightedness, because it's only thinking of yourself. It's not thinking of everybody around you that you possibly could make miserable. It's only thinking of instant gratification. And there's so much I want to say right now.
Well, go ahead, say it, please.
So, you know, there's one thing, there's a state, you know, quote, hashtag, it's called, you only live once. Can I just shout? That is the most selfish quote I have ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not you only live. Yes, you have one life and you get this one shot, but your actions impact everybody. Your choices impact how, like, you know, six generations. We're talking like 500 years later. So you only live once is so selfish, because your choices impact what you buy. Who made that purchase? Is it from, you know, is it ethical chocolate? Chocolate and coffee are two of the most unethical crops. They're produced and made with slave child labor. And your choices absolutely impact somebody else. And so this only live once mentality is ruining so many people's lives because they're going through life thinking, oh, well, you know, you only live once. I'm just going to, you know, binge tonight on this meal. I'm just going to, you know, do whatever I want. And then the next morning they wake up, they feel sick and it starts a whole host of problems. And then they go to the doctor and they can't figure out what's wrong. And I'm like, I can tell you what's wrong. You lived under this mentality of you only lived once. And I like, and I'm really passionate about this. So I almost want to apologize for coming across really strong about it, but I really want people to know that, yes, you have one chance at life and we've got to live every day with the mentality and the thought action that our choices impact everybody around us. And even people that we don't even know, that, you know, chocolate bar you're buying, that cup of coffee, like we've got to get connected to whatever we're doing. And so coming back to the whole happiness thing is an extremely important, you know, topic to me, because, you know, in the past I have, you know, you kind of brought this up, you're talking like about relationships and, you know, like your listeners, you know, whoever you are, and if you are in a relationship, what, you know, like what, you know, David said, I'll just share, you know, a really quick personal story, and a lot of it will be saved for the book, because it has a better context. I just can't share everything in 2 seconds here. But, you know, I was in a relationship. He had 2 young kids. We were, you know, just dating, and I deeply, deeply loved him. And he was divorced, and so we had his kids a lot. And I've always wanted to be a mom. And it was just, I thought, like, you know, we were going to be together for the rest of our lives. And so I'm a pretty creative person. And so it was Father's Day, and we made his kids and I, we made this like amazing Father's Day gift to him. That was Sunday. We were at his mother's place for Father's Day. We came back home, and Monday morning he was like, I love you, Sarah, but I don't want to be with you. And I've got to tell you, like, those next 2 months were some of the most toughest months of my life. I had gone through some other really, I had just lost a business. Some other things had kind of, you know, quote unquote, you know, failed. And I was in a very deep, dark place. I didn't eat. I was, you know, coping by, you know, riding my bike and crying. This is many years removed, and I can still picture myself like on the bike coming down a hill, just crying and just like, okay, just let this bike just, you know, run off the side of the road and I'm done. And, I have to tell you, you know, looking at my life, you know, today and looking at all these years past, you know, being in that relationship and having it end was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me. I am now able to share that experience with other people. In fact, I just shared it yesterday with somebody who is going through a major heartache. And I was able to tell him that, yes, it does get better. And, you know, you do make it through. And, you know, my life today is so much better. Like, I couldn't be doing the things I do today if I was still probably in that relationship. But, you know, I'm not coming from a place of judgment. Like, you know, I'm perfect. I've never been depressed and, you know, never had those dark, lonely days. I have. And the thing that got me out of that was A, my faith, and really, you know, B, was just looking outside of me of how I could improve my life to be a better person for the next person that did come into my life relationship-wise. And how could I be a better, you know, businesswoman? How could I, you know, manage my startups better? How can I do these different things to enhance my life and make my actions, you know, be a positive influence on everybody around me? And so, again, I keep coming back to, you know, that the happiness is an inside job. And I realized that, you know, I am lovable. I love myself. I'm, you know, worthy of love. I'm worthy of being taken care of, you know, eating healthy and all those, you know, important things. And I think when people, you know, if you're listening to this and you're struggling, if you're in a relationship that's not good, or if you're struggling with, you know, depression, there's many things that can cause depression. Depression is not a lack of Prozac. I'll say that, you know, it's from a nutritional level. It's also from, you know, who we hang out to and what we listen to. You know, I'm a really big proponent of positive music, because if we're constantly listening to music that's not uplifting and you know, inspiring us, of course, we're going to always kind of feel down and not happy. And so getting back to, you know, kind of the the statement, you know, that you said earlier about, you know, being in a relationship. Absolutely. Like, you know, a relationship doesn't define you. And I think that's the whole status quo. Like, I felt pressure to be in a relationship just based on what was going on around me. And I was like, you know what? I don't have to be in a relationship to be happy. I can be happy by myself. I can be happy single. Like life is great single, and life can be great, you know, with a partner, but a relationship status does not define you. And are you living life on your terms, or are you living life on the media's terms and what, you know, the outside voices are telling you how you should live life? And I really just challenge people to really, you know, investigate what you're being told, like from a nutritionist standpoint, from, you know, from so many different things. You know, we got to know exactly what we're doing in order to change our life. And, you know, literally, like, what are we being fed? Not metaphorically, but what, you know, we're being fed audibly, visually, and how that really impacts the rest of our life. Because I guarantee you, if we can, you know, cut out some of the TV time and some of the radio time and some of the magazines that we're listening, and start, you know, getting in tune with nature and connecting one-on-one with people in a yoga class, or, you know, going to a local organic farm and, you know, connecting with the earth that's growing our food, it will change. It will be a revolution. It's going to change our world. And so, there's so much I want to talk, but I'll stop there so you can actually, interject a little bit.
No, actually, Sarah, I'm loving it. And I just wanted to say that I'm wondering whether one has to go through a tough time in his or her life to get to where you and I are now. The reason I'm saying that is I was listening to your story about your relationship and about how that broke up and you were depressed. And my listeners know that I went through a very tough divorce about 14 years ago or so. And I'll tell you, very similar to what you went through, even though yours was not a true divorce, but for the next, at least 1 to 2 years, I just felt like I was in a really bad place. I was depressed. I felt lonely. I'd be at home in this rented townhouse that I didn't feel good in, and my phone would never ring. And I just felt like my life was horrible. And something you just said just struck a chord. And when you said you've got to love yourself, and I realized that when I was in my first marriage, I think I had a problem. I think I did not love myself. I think I wasn't confident in myself, and it was always just you know, maybe what my spouse wanted to do, and I was trying to do everything to make things work. But I didn't love myself. That was the bottom line. But after that whole thing, and after we broke up, and I did a lot of soul searching, and like I said, I found like my incredible life partner, and we're both just so happy. And I feel like now I'm able to do the things that I was put here on earth to do, to help others, to teach, to be kind to the planet, be kind to animals, et cetera. The list goes on and on and on. And our stories are so similar and they parallel each other. And I'm just wondering whether it's almost like you need like a firm kick in the butt that your life's not really right. Like, get out of that. And even though things get really bad for a little while, they will, like I've told my listeners, they will get better. It's like a guarantee. So don't apologize for going on too long. It was extremely interesting listening to your story there.
Good. Yeah. I have a lot more of them, and, you know, I think context is really important. So, you know, sometimes we can share stories and, you know, the stories like leading up to it, or the stories, you know, afterwards. And so, when my book is finally published, I think it will help the readers really understand like the full story of my life and how I've come through some really, really tragic circumstances. And yet I'm still standing on two feet, two blistered feet sometimes. But, you know, you asked, do we have to go through, you know, rough, tough times in order to kind of, you know, live differently? And I don't know. Yes and no. It's funny because I, after this phone conversation I had yesterday, I probably talked with him like for 2 hours, and, you know, he's, you know, going through a really hard breakup and all these different things, and, you know, saying some very similar things that I'm, you know, saying here today. And I you know, was reflecting on the conversation last evening and was just really thinking, gosh, if I had not gone through that experience, would I have been able to help this particular person? And I wouldn't have.
And so I think there has to be that shift of like, you know, somebody just recently said they don't believe everything happens for a reason. I'm kind of on the fence because I do believe things do happen for a reason, and we have to really look to see like why they happened. Was it because of our actions, or, you know, like what happened? Like, and it helps us to process it. And if you and I hadn't gone through those things, we can't be helping other people today. Because I think the first thing to helping other people is that we have to be empathetic and share our personal stories of, guess what? I went through something very similar or something way worse than you, and guess, or, you know, maybe not as worse, you know, like whatever situation it is. And it helps them know that there is hope. They're actually like looking at it, and you can give that to them. And it's like that non-transferable, you know, action, that trade, you know, we're not, you know, exchanging money, but we can give them that story that's so rich and so valuable because it empowers them. Like, guess what? They pulled themselves out by the bootstraps. I can too. And they have to want to get help and to see it too. I'll interject that as well. Because there's so many people I want to help on a daily basis. And I just have realized, Sarah, I can't save anybody. That's not my job. I can only share my knowledge, my passion, my expertise, all, you know, like what I believe in. I can only share it and hope that with repetitiveness and, you know, day in and day out living, hopefully by example, that's my daily goal, that they'll start to see it and catch on to it. But I can't change. I can't save anyone. And that's, I'm a people pleaser. I really want everybody to live free. I don't want them to be enslaved to prescriptions, enslaved to living this unhappy, unfulfilled status quo life. And I realize the best way to do that is to keep living, speaking, writing, running, like what I do, what I buy, that's the best way to live that authentic life so other people can see that living a life in freedom is very much possible. And then if I get to share, you know, personal stories one-on-one or here on the podcast or, you know, at a speaking engagement, then that's even a greater opportunity to share that with other people. So, you know, tough times, I think they make us a stronger person. And if we shy away from the trials and we don't want to go through different things, I think we're kind of hurting ourselves because we're trying to live in a perfect world and we don't live in a perfect world. And when we go through those really hard times, it builds our values and kind of like our character, and it helps other people in turn. And I think that's just such a huge blessing. Imagine if we could all share our tough times with people who are struggling and we could like inspire them. Like, guess what? I made it through. You can too. I'm holding my hand out. Come take it and let's do this. Let's, you know, enjoy life in this journey together. And man, that, I think that would just, you know, it would change the world. And I think too many of us are living lives, you know, we go from, you know, the house to the indoor garage to the car to the indoor office garage, and we never even see the day of light. And we're unhappy. We're not even in touch with our family. We're not in touch with ourselves. We don't even know how the food got on our plate. We don't even know how like the coffee was made. We just expect somebody to, you know, put it in a cup, and if it's, you know, two shots or whatever it is, and it's not done right, it's somebody else's fault. And we've got to come back to, you know, being connected to whatever we're doing. You know, we're human. We need human interaction. And that would really, you know, help out with people who are, you know, struggling with depression, and like, we're not alone. So I think as great as social media is, it still creates this void of not being connected. I think there's even some studies that show that very example. So if we can kind of come back to all those basic principles of like getting fresh air, walking in bare feet, you know, making your own coffee, you know, connecting with somebody, giving somebody a hug. We need like 7 hugs a day for like basic human health. And how many of us do not get 7 hugs a day? Like, I will admit, I don't get 7 hugs a day. I'm like, who can I hug today? and so it's just coming back to those basics, and that will really shift our entire approach to the way we eat, the way we live, the way we feel, the way we look. And in turn, all of those things impact the next 5 to 6 generations, even more than that. And it affects like our entire, you know, geology map. So again, like, yes, you only live once, but your actions impact so many.
Sarah, if I were in Colorado right now, I'd give you more than seven hugs because you're totally connecting with me. What you're saying is so right on. I'm so into this. I do have to say, we have so much to talk about. We already have talked about, we're kind of out of time for this one episode. So I want to invite you to come back. I wasn't even planning to do this, I swear to you, but we have so much more to share with our listeners. I want to invite you to come back next week and continue this. I really want to get into eating, nutrition, what you believe in eating, your running, exercise programs, things like that. I think we could talk forever. So would you come back with me next week?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Until next time, I'm Dr. Dave. I want to thank Sarah so much. And don't go anywhere, because in 1 week, we're going to be back continuing this conversation. So we'll see you next week. Take it easy.
Thank you for listening to Slice Your Age. You are no longer alone on this journey.
Slice Your Age.